Thank you, Pastor Rich. Well, good morning, church. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1. And as Pastor Rich mentioned, I did pastor a couple of churches for almost 10 years, and then the Lord moved us to this church, and we've been serving here for almost 10 years, and my wife's been on staff here for a couple different times, and she's a nurse now, by the way. Happy Nurses Week to all you nurses. Amen. My wife's a nurse. We appreciate her. she works very hard for our family, and we're sure appreciative of her. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this passage. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for how it changes, continually changes my life, and thank you for how it transforms those that do not know you as Savior, and brings them to the from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. And I pray for that today, that if anybody does not know Jesus Christ and does not have the forgiveness of sins, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And thank you for those who are getting baptized today as well. And I just pray for us as Christians that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be challenged, that we grow closer to you today as a result of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of 1 John, it's a great book. It's can be sometimes a challenging book for us as believers, because it has a lot of hard truths and a lot of strong truths. And sometimes that can be convicting for us. It really encourages us to walk close to the Lord, to have a real close fellowship with him, and not to break that fellowship. And if we do, we need to make sure we restore that, because it's not just enough to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have the forgiveness of sins and be saved. We got to keep a close walk with the Lord, amen? And that's what God wants us to do. And the book of 1 John encourages us to do that. Not only that, but the book of 1 John also helps us be discerning about what a true believer is and what a false believer isn't. In other words, those that do know the Lord will have a lifestyle that's different than somebody who does not know the Lord. And there is a lifestyle of a Christian, and there is a lifestyle of a non-Christian. How many of you have ever had a conversation with somebody? I've had this several times, and something will come up, and they'll say, well, you know, you just think you're better than me. You just think you're better than everyone else. How many of you heard that, right? And is that the truth? Of course not. Verse 10 of our text tells us, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And, you know, we are sinners even after we become Christians, amen? The difference is, though, we have Jesus Christ, and we have God's Son, and we have the promise of forgiveness. And I want to focus on verse number 9 of our text, and I really want to preach there. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to talk about the blessing and the power of forgiveness today. First of all, we're going to talk about the blessing of forgiveness. The Bible says in our text that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins. And the first reason that God gives and how he will and why he will forgive us our sins is because he's faithful. Our text says, if we confess our sins, he is what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The Bible says that he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. God cannot lie. And if the Son shall make you free, John 8, verse 36 says, you shall be free indeed. And so that's a promise from God. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, my wife and I have been married for 24 years, and husbands, I've made a few mistakes here and there, quite a bit actually. You know, you know what our wives need from us, men? Our wives need us to be faithful. Our wives need us to be dependable. Our wives need us to be reliable. Our wives need for us to keep our word and do what we say. Why? Because that's how God is. Not only that, but we shouldn't just say that we love our wives. We should prove that by our actions. Isn't that what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago? He sacrificed himself by his actions. He proved his love. And not only that, after we're saved, does he not answer prayer? Amen? Does he not work in our lives? He works. God is a God of action. And if we're going to be like Christ, men, if we're going to be a God-honoring man, we need to know, our wives need to trust us. And not only that, but we need to be dependable, reliable, and they need to feel loved and cared for, and that's what women need. Amen, ladies? Amen. You can thank my wife, Angela. She wrote that part of the message, so just kidding. So God is faithful. I love that hymn that says, "Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow nor turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." God does not forgive us our sins because we are good. God does not forgive us of our sins because of what we do for him or how good we can be. God forgives our sins. Why? He is faithful. Amen. And I thank God because he is so faithful. I cannot be forgiven without that. Not only that, but see, our text says he is just. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What does that mean? That means he's fair. Not only is he faithful, but he's fair. God does what is right. A lot of people think that, you know, God's unfair. God's not unfair. God always does what's right. You know, someone who repents of their sin, they're broken over their sin, they don't desire in their heart to grieve God with it anymore. That's the kind of heart that God wants. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. We're going to bring it on the screen. It says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper." Isn't that the way man does? Man covers it up, right? Man sweeps it under the rug. Man says it's not that big of a deal. God says it's a big deal. And if you cover your sins, you will not prosper spiritually with God. You will not grow in your relationship with God. But the Bible says whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I don't know about you. How many of us have blown it big time in our Christian lives? Amen? I mean blown it. Whether it be in relationships or whether it be morally or maybe just sometimes we're not doing what we ought to do as Christians. I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. I'm so thankful for his forgiveness. We're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 103. It's probably one of my favorite psalms, starting in verse 8. Psalm 103, verse 8. It says this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always accuse, neither will he keep his anger forever." And I like this verse. Verse 10 is probably one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. "He does not treat us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." I mean, that's what we deserve, isn't it? But he doesn't do that. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Even though we blow it at times, God's always ready to forgive. He's always ready to cleanse. He's always ready to restore that fellowship with us. And you say, well, doesn't that mean that if you believe that way, doesn't that mean you can just think you can just sin whenever you want and do what you want? The exact opposite is truth. Because of God's great mercy, because of his love and forgiveness, I don't want to sin. I want to follow him. I want to trust him. And I want to realize that his merciful kindness is what delivers me and saves me and keeps me following him. Amen. The Bible says there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. Not that we can go do what we want. The exact opposite is true. Matter of fact, that goes into the second part of the point. Not only do we see the blessing of forgiveness, that God is faithful and God is fair, but number two, the power of forgiveness. Look at verse 9 of our text again. It says he will cleanse us from most unrighteousness. Does it say most? No. Does it say some unrighteousness? No. It says all unrighteousness. How many of you remember growing up, there was not such a thing as a dishwasher, right? And you had to wash it by hand. Man, I used to hate that. Growing up as a kid, we get the soap and the water in the one part of the sink, and the other part would be for rinsing off and then drying and put away. And you put the silverware in first, get that all, and then think about it, it's kind of gross, isn't it, now we think about it? But that's how we did it, right? And then it would get a little dirty and mucky once we did the bowl, so we had to get new water for the bowls, and then by the time the pans came out, we got to change out the water for the pans and do the pans and all that. My stepdad tricked me growing up. He said, if you just continue to do those dishes and wash your hands with that dish soap, you're going to be a great football player. You'll never catch it. You'll always catch a pass. And I was gullible as a kid. And I kind of still am now. But I believed him, But the one thing I hated about doing dishes was always that one piece of food, that one spot of grease, that one thing. I never got it completely clean. God's not like that. When God cleanses us, the Bible says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He makes us fully clean. He makes us whole. There's no gunk in the pan. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. I want to encourage you. We're about to have several baptisms today, and I love baptism. You know why I love baptism? Baptism, the physical act of baptism, though it does not forgive a person or save a person, it is a representation or the symbol of what's taken place on the inside. And this passage really goes into all about baptism, about how it works out practically in our lives as Christians. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse number 3 at first. We're going to read several verses. It says, "Do you not know that we who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That's the symbol. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, so shall we also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no further dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your bodies to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. I love this passage. It reminds me of a song that I like by Chris Tomlin. It says, "I have resurrection power, living in the light of your goodness." And you know what, sometimes, have you ever felt as a believer that you're so overcome, you're so overwhelmed by the temptation and the power to sin, you feel like you have no control, like you're going to sin? That's not from God. That's from the devil, folks. And you know what? There are sins that we have been saved from, that God has saved us from, we have no business doing anymore as Christians. God has been a just God. He has put away that sin. We need to be dead to it. We need to agree with God that it's sin, that we need to forsake it in our hearts. We're not under the law. We're under grace. So, hey, we're not bound to live that way. Addictions ministry pastor, Pastor Shannon, who was here for several years, he used to say this. He said, "The only power that sin has in the life of a believer is the power that we give it." That's so true. Let me say that again. The only power that sin has in the life of the believer is the power that we give it. That's so true. But we're not bound to live that way. You know what? God wants us to live victorious over sin. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In our, the ministry, Deliverance into Destiny, one of the goals of the ministry is not just to get people off alcohol and drugs. It's not just to help a man addicted to sexual sin to get away from that. It's, we all have a purpose, a destiny in our lives as Christians, right? God's called us unto good works, Ephesians 2:10 says. God's called us to serve him. God's called us to live for him, for his honor and his glory, and to help others come to know him. That's why we're here. And you know what? Sin in our lives and rebellion in our hearts, that will stifle our growth and stifle the kingdom of God and stifle what he wants to do in our lives. You know, Israel, when God delivered them from Egypt as slaves, it's a picture of the world, by the way, and our salvation, he promised that he would bring them to the promised land. He said, I'm going to bring you to the promised land. You only have to believe me. Now, did they do any work? No, they just believed God. They went right in. However, God warned them. He said, when you get to that promised land, what you need to do is all those heathen nations that are around you, I want you to slowly but surely drive them all out. Push them out. Why? They're going to be a snare to you. They're false gods. They're idols that they have. It's not going to help you follow me. It's going to hinder you, and you're going to be brought back under bondage. Question. Did Israel obey God in that? No, they didn't. And you know what? Oftentimes in our lives, we don't follow God's commands. Listen, God has blessings for us spiritually. God has a great spiritual life planned out for us. But if we're living in sin and we're not resisting the devil and drawing nigh to God, that's going to be hindered. Hey, look, God says they're going to be a snare to you. God says you drive them out. I'm not going to do that for you. Hey, there are things in our lives that we have no control of. That's God's. But if we do have control over choice, do we not? If God says, do not commit sexual sin, do not lie, do not steal, do not blaspheme, do not covet things, and do not be greedy, and all these things that God commands us to follow him wholeheartedly, hey, that's something he commands us to do, to make the choice and say, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to live to the glory of God, and I'm going to do right, because God has called me to that life, and that's a life of blessing. That's a life of promised land. As Israelites, when they went in the promised land, that's what God says, I'm going to bless you. I have so many blessings for you, you can't even receive it. And you know what? We are missing out on God's supernatural, all-powerful blessings if we don't submit to that. But God wants us to. God says, you can do it. God says, I've called you to do it. God says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There are some things we have no control of, but we have the control and power of our choices. And God says, let not sin reign over you. You are under God's grace. Grace gives us that power. Grace gives us the blessings and the power that we need to live for God and live a life pleasing and honoring to him. Several months ago, Ashley Parker, one of our great singers here, she sang a song, one of my favorite songs. It talks about, it says, the chorus is, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white, brought me from out of darkness into your glorious light. And that's what God has called us to do. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I don't have any peace. And that's what forgiveness brings, doesn't it? It brings us peace. I don't have peace with God. You know what? God desires for you to have that. One day this wicked world will come to an end, in the sense that Jesus is coming back to restore it unto himself. Amen? Somebody mentioned recently, I'm scared about global warming. Now, you don't have to be scared of it. The Bible says God's going to melt this earth with a fervent heat. He's going to burn all the wickedness up, and he's going to start over, and his kingdom's going to be coming to this earth. And the Bible says the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of God and his Christ, and he will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him. And you know what? God wants you to be a part of that. But there's a problem. It's your sin. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says you need to do two things. Number one, you need to repent. Repent is just simply this, a change of mind that leads to a change of action. You're going this way, you're going your own way, and you turn around, you go that way. You change. But not only that, but you have to put all your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He rose again. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, God himself will give you the gift of everlasting life. You'll not fear death anymore. You'll have no fear of the future. Why? Because God's in control of this world. He will. He holds the title deed. He's going to buy it back one day. Amen. And he's coming back and he will rule and reign. And you have the promise of God that you will live with him forever and reign in his kingdom and you'll be perfect forever. Yeah. But you have to repent. You have to put your faith in Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with that mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, shall be saved. That's a promise of God. And if you do that, God will forgive your sins. And you'll be in his heavenly kingdom, and you'll be part of his glorious church. Dear Christian, if you're here today and man, you're struggling in your sin. I mean, you struggle. Amen. I've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. Amen. You know what? That powerful blood that Jesus shed on the cross to forgive us of our sin when we're saved, it still applies in our lives as Christians. And the blessing and the power of forgiveness is for us. And we need to take advantage of it, and we need to trust that God will forgive us, because why? He's faithful and just. And he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can live for him, and we can live victorious, helping others as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. You are a great God, a great Savior. I thank you so much for those that have chosen to put their trust in you today. And may you bless their lives and as they walk with you. I pray for those that maybe have not submitted themselves unto your gospel. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.